Well, here's what I want to do in this hour. And if you've been in here before, because about 5-6 years I've probably taught this, most common diagrams. Well, here's what maybe people didn't realize. This year, I'm going to show some different ones. So this is more most common diagrams. Because if you've ever been here before with me, we never get through the end. So they said, why don't you start where you usually stop because you ran out of time? And start there, and I added some that I've started using in the last 5 years more. So if you've been in before, this is going to be different. If you haven't, okay, you didn't hear the last few years. Here's a diagram that I use often, especially related to conflict, but just why is this relationship not going well? What is going on? Now, I want to give this disclaimer up front. Almost nothing that I show you is original with me. So I either read it somewhere or I heard it in a workshop at one of these places. So I try to give credit if I can remember. But I'm not ashamed to say I'm like Spurgeon. He used to get criticized for reading lots of commentaries and sermons. And he said, I milk a lot of cows, but I churn my own butter. So same with me. I pull on all these different teats and then I churn my own butter. So when I read and I hear and then you'll just tweak it. So feel free to tweak it on your own and use it. When I know who it is, I'll try to tell you. This was Paul Tripp. But this is so helpful. What is going on when usually by the time people sit down and say, would you help us? They don't come early in the early stages. They wait till it's just a big, fat, bitter mess. And so it can be helpful to help them realize how they arrived at that point, because you also want to help them realize where we need to focus if we're going to really change. And so to show them, look what happens to the human heart. So I'll go to the board, or if you're sitting in Panera Bread or in your living room, just piece of paper, just notebook piece of paper, and say, here's what the Bible shows about us as human beings. There are things that we simply desire. Nothing wrong there. So that word desire or lust, when you see it in the Bible, in the Greek it's epithumia, and the prefix epi just means anything that's heightened. It's strong enough that it motivates behavior. Well, it doesn't have to be necessarily sinful. Usually when we think of it, we think, oh, bad. Doesn't have to be. But it's a desire. Oh, I wish my husband was more communicative. I wish my pastors, or I wish my employer. No sin yet. It's not wrong to have any number of desires. But so often, and here's where the struggle is with Christians. We think, what I want is a good thing. I want a godly marriage. We just heard that series from the pastor. Oh man, when's my husband going to do it? When's he going to live it out? When's he going to... But you want it so badly, you're willing to sin to get it. Because watch what happens. It goes from simply, I just wish, I desire, oh Lord, pray, articulate it. But it doesn't take long because of our sin nature that we shift from just desire to demand. And how I illustrate it to my counselees often is I'll take a pen or a mechanical pencil from my desk and just say, here's when it's in the desire stage. Open hand, oh God. I want godly children. I long to see my children walk with the Lord. And I'm praying and working towards that end and pouring my life in, or whatever, you name it. No problem yet. But demand is the clenching of your fist around a desire to where now, here's what happens. I can no longer imagine a good life without this thing. This now controls me. It's what I think about and is my standard for measuring good day, bad day. Gotta have this. Gotta have this. And that looks immature, that looks selfish, and so quickly we're intuitive enough to think, okay. And so we shift and we start calling it a need. I must. Well, you just need to understand with my background and what I've been through, and listen for it as you're counseling or discipling. Listen to the, well, Pastor Brad or Susie or Bob, you just need to understand. I must have a husband who. Right. Do what Stuart did with me. Don't do all the talking. Listen and write. Right, right. And when you hear a lot of, I must have a husband who, well, I just must have a wife who, I must have an employer who, it's now a need. This thing I want is essential to life. And we so easily shift all kinds of things into the category of need. And yet when you look at the scriptures, very few things are called a need. You're going to have a desire. You're going to long for it. But to shift and say, I need it like I need oxygen. We're convinced, because what happens is once you say it's a need and you're convinced you have to have it, if you don't get it, it's like I'm being denied something that I absolutely have to live. And so what happens is, if this is a need, then those closest to me who say they love me, whether it's best friend or spouse or church leaders, should help me get that. If they really love. So your sense of what you're calling this and thinking about this now begins to impact those around you. You should. You say you love me. You should. I'm convinced I need it. You say you love me. So it's right for me to expect you to help me get it. Paul Tripp. If you're new to biblical counseling, he's one of my very favorite authors and speakers. So if you're only going to buy one book, I know there's all kinds of resources. If you're only going to buy one book, do not buy my book. Buy Paul Tripp's Instruments in the Redeemer's Hand. People in Need of Help. And People in Need of Change, Helping People in Need of Change. Excellent. He says this need-driven expectation is the source of 90% of conflicts in relationships. Because you start to see this thing as a right and an entitlement. And so therefore, it's skewing your perception of those around you. Because basically, you're thinking, they exist to help me get this. Now, here's what's going on. They're coming at relationships thinking the same thing. They're not thinking about how they can meet your needs. They're all wound up over their needs, and you should be helping them. And here we go with a mountain of unhappiness. And so that's not going to last long before, oops, you didn't. So I'm disappointed. You set yourself up for disappointments in relationships. Jot down in your notes there, Romans 8:18-26. I am convinced if more Christians, never mind lost people, if more Christians would really get a hold of Romans 8:18-26 that talks about all of creation is groaning right now. And it says even us as the sons and daughters of God are groaning because everything in this world has a measure of futility right in it. Right now, it's under the curse of sin. I think the mistake that so often Christians make, and I understand how they step into it. You're like, I've got a situation right now, a couple that I'm trying to counsel. And one of the biggest problems, you know what one of the biggest problems is? It's his fourth marriage. That I'm not done. That's not the biggest problem. There's a problem that I'm trying to help him see. Hello, there's a pattern here. You were in every one of those. That's not the biggest problem. You know what the biggest problem is? He went in saying, but I'm a Christian now. I got saved since that last. And she's a Christian that I met at Brad Bigney's church. And oh, it's going to be unbelievable. What would it be like to be married to a Christian? Oh, it can be pretty awful. So I'm getting them 10 years into this. I say, when was it bad? The honeymoon. But do you see what was going on? Expectations were off the chart. He had all this of what it would be like to be married to a Christian woman. It's still going to be work. And she's wonderful. Please don't get me wrong. She's wonderful. But I think so much of the struggles we have in marriage, parenting, small groups, best friends, coworkers, you name it, could be reduced if we just let up on the expect and said, you know what? That right there that just happened, that proves he's a sinner. And I knew that going in. And it's showing itself. There we go. Some of it I'm going to just cover with love. I'm going to let it go. Don't hear me saying you let everything go. But when you think, I'm going to say something about everything, because this is supposed to be a Christian marriage. We're supposed to hold hands and sing kumbaya together. And just, it's supposed to be blissful communion. Oh, it's going to be gritty. It's like two sinners have still come together. There's the grace of God, but oh my goodness, you just married a sinner. Two sinners are living under the same roof. Sinner, say it with a hiss. Sinner, you just married a sinner. Don't ever forget that. And sinners sin.